and we've got the K2C guys in studio. And every Friday, I've just loved interviewing them. It's just been such an eye-opener to hear how much they contribute to our beautiful town and along various parts of the landscape here. It's just amazing, and I've just learned so much every single week. But in studio this morning, I have Dumisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
And I've got Letabo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to have you both in studio. So what I like to do is, before we jump into what we're actually doing mm-hmm. and what each of your projects are doing, Dumisa, just give me a little a breakdown of where you grew up and how you came onto this journey of landing up at K2C.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to you and your listeners. As introduced, my name is Dumisa Khoza, and I was born and bred in the community of Piring Village under tribal authority of Dingwanyane Tribal Authority. I started my journey with the K2C under the Dingwanyane Water Smart Project in 2019, and that's when my journey began in conservation and sustainable development to date.
Fantastic. So it's been a good few years.
Of course.
And you can hear and see the passion is in your eyes.
Most definitely. Passion has grown. I mean, everything you do or think, it's always towards sustainable development and conservation.
Absolutely. I love that. And to you, Letabo, give us a little breakdown about where you grew up, where you and how you landed up with K2C.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. I'm Letabo Rasakanya. I'm from a small village in Raskororo called Ganana. And my passion for the environment actually came with living next to the river and actually observing how it has changed over the years. And I started my journey with the Kukutu Canyons when we had a project on environmental monitoring, to which we did most of the monitorings on the environment, checking what is happening into our landscape. And it was in 2011. So this is my fourth year with the Kukutu Canyons, and it's been an amazing journey just being with in the biosphere and creating impact into the biosphere.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And it's so nice to hear people that are passionate about what they do. Mm. And it's not many people that have that opportunity to say, I love what I do. Mm. I wake up every morning and it's my passion, and I love giving back, and I love, and it's wonderful to hear that. So that's a big accolade to both of you.
Thank you.
So, but let's get back to business. And Dumisa, can you give us a breakdown of the project you are running and the role that you make and take on this project?
Thank you very much. So in the Kukutu Canyons biosphere, we have different programs, and I contribute to the Pro Nature Livelihood project, which is a project that is focused on livelihood development and community engagement. So my journey started under the Dingwanyane Water Smart Project, which is our demonstration project in the community of Piring, and the project was meant to create a demonstration project that demonstrate resilience and adaptation to climate change. I mean, we can all agree that climate change poses a significant threat to life as we know it. So my role as a site coordinator for that project was to implement mechanisms or components that will help the community to adapt very well to the climate change era. And then the approaches in which we used, because we all, I mean, some of the economic activities in the landscape are mostly focused on agriculture, especially livestock farming and crop farming. So we introduce or reintroduced rather a agricultural method that is sustainable than the currently now traditional conventional farming, where we ask our people to take a step back in the past and start practicing agriculture, working together in harmony with nature. And, you know, like using organic farming principles to implement that, and that's what we do. And we also work with livestock farmers because we have acknowledged that cattle have a huge impact on or thus contributes heavily on climate change. So we understand by looking after our cattle and actually owning them or having them in a more sustainable way, contributes to the reduction of climate change impact.
And obviously, you know, we know that traditional farming involves a lot of poison, pesticides, and they've got to, it's a love-hate relationship, because for them to have a successful harvest, they've got to also protect their crop.
Of course.
But in that circle of life means there's cattle that are exposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
The cattle will then have that,
mm-hmm.
and then it will come out their system, and then all the other parts of the eco life gets involved in that, mm-hmm. in that done from the cattle. Is that what you take into consideration?
I couldn't have said it better myself. That's actually the whole idea and concept. And as well, if you have too many cattle at a very small area or small place, the environmental hazards that they will cause is that they will be overgrazing, and then overgrazing leads to other impacts such as erosion and carbon loss in the soil. Thus, means that more carbon is now
released
yes. into the yeah. So,
and the community, how do they accept this help? Are they open to it? Are they fighting against it, or are they generally wanting to cooperate to for sustainability's sake?
I think the best thing to do when you engage in the community first is that you need to make sure that they understand the concept of climate change in their own knowledge. You know, we cannot explain or define climate change to community members as how it appears in science books or whatever. So you make them relate and see how was the environment 10 years, 20 years, and then how is it now, and what's their understanding to what led those changes now. And once they have that understanding, then you said, okay, this is the effects of climate change that we're talking about, and the only way in which we can reduce these effects, because I mean, everyone do acknowledge the fact that since from that time things have changed, especially their livelihoods. Crop farming has changed entirely. There's now less yield than before. Mm. There's now more pests and more diseases for their crops. They acknowledge that. And then when you say, okay, here's an alternative, here's a practice in which we can now implement that can be a solution to those kind of projects. So they will buy in because they will understand now the problem and then the situation and then the solution in which you are bringing to them. They were likely to accept it. And then, of course, one thing that we use is the model of a conservation agreement, because I mean, everyone needs to know what is it do they get in return.
Yes.
If you ask them to practice or implement something. So the model of a conservation agreement stipulates that us as a conservation entity, we propose, and this is through a negotiated conversation, we propose conservation actions. We say, you as crop farmers, we would like you to now implement smart irrigation schedules, smart irrigation systems, and then you as livestock farmers, we now like you to implement sustainable rangeland management, whereby you now do crop rotation, you now rest your camps, you now take your animal to health inspections, and so on and so on. And then in return, this is what the project can offer you, which is one, we had a support from our field teams who are well trained in those fields, and then we also had in the demonstration project a CAPEX fund, which we actually awarded 30,000 rand individually, and I think it was over 100,000 rands for a group. And then we said, if you practice these things, and of course we had given them training on those methodologies and those practices before, we say if you practice these methodologies and these practices, we can give you these benefits,
rewards,
these rewards,
and then it's about bartering. And I think that old saying of bartering is, it's been you've used for many, many years, and I think it's a great way to encourage any communications, and people want to see what they're getting for what the changes that they're making. They want to see what they're getting rewarded with at the end of the day. So yes, that works brilliantly.
Most definitely. They have to see the importance and the need. And then, of course, you have to also implement some enabling factors for them. Yeah. For an example, we have set up a financial mechanism because, I mean, like any other project, like even in your household, for a person to run a household, they need capital or funding. So even the projects that we propose to them to start implementing, they should be funded somehow. And then we have set up a financial mechanism for them through the savings group methodology. I mean, a savings group is typically just like the old traditional stock funds that are in existence in the communities. But however, this one has been modified and enhanced with an element of strong governance in it. And then the administration part of it also, it's also formalized. And remember the capex that we have awarded them. We said because we want to create a sustainable system. If you just take out a grant or a capex like that and give it to one farmer and then they implement, and then that will be the end of the line. But however, we said we, as a conservation entity, we benefit you with that capex fund, and then in turn you have to now pay it back into a savings group in which you self-select with the community members and form your own savings group with the community members who have the same goal with you, and then you are going to pay back that capex fund according to how we have negotiated through the conservation agreement back into that savings group, so that someone else in that
can
savings
benefit.
Group can also have benefits, and then that's creating a revolving system.
And the fact that it is run with the iron fist, and people know that it's above board, and that everyone gets an opportunity to benefit from that is fantastic.
Most definitely. And then it gives us a very good track records because remember I said this was on the demonstration project that we're implementing in the community of Piring, and then once we have seen that it works, it is successful, we are able to take it out throughout the landscapes. Yes,
fantastic. It's absolutely amazing. And how many are on your team?
You mean the...
How many people do you work with?
Yes, we have... So our team is in tiers. We have in the Pro Nature Livelihood Project, there is our senior manager, and then there are coordinators. I think we have four coordinators, and then we have field workers, and they are five. And then we are also hosting the Yes for Youth program. I think there are eight. I think altogether our team amounts to something between 20 and 25.
Wow, that's wonderful. It's a strong team, and I think
an able team.
I don't doubt that for a second. I can hear that without a doubt. But that is so wonderful to hear, and just keep going. And it's so important that we embrace the community, because the community is what is going to be left over at the end of the day. And they want to also pass on to their children and keep it generational. And that's what's also the goal, I presume, for everybody here today. Okay, well, thank you so much for that, Dumasan. It was actually wonderful. I love hearing what you're doing. Young lady, next.
All right.
Let's go for it. Tell us and share with us, Letabo, what work and what projects you are busy running with.
All right. Thank you so much. Just adding on to something that Dumisa was speaking in reference to rangeland management is that in the past 2 years, we released a documentary called Our Waste, which we looked into various perspectives of how waste affect everyone. And one area, which was livestock farmers, they indicated how waste has become a problem to it. So it looks into a cycle of it, and also the model of it is coming up with community-driven solutions towards it. But just linking into what I do myself, I'm an SMME coordinator, and one of the projects that we're doing looks into one of our biggest challenges, which is waste management. So ourselves as the Kruger to Canyons Biosphere at London Landfill Site, which is the municipality's landfill site, so every waste around municipality ends up at that site. So at that site, there are waste reclaimers, which are there, and then what we did is, instead of just having them informally just sort out waste and give it to anybody else, we provided them the visibility for them to be recognized within the waste system by formalizing them. So we registered them a business, and which is a waste beneficiation center, which looks into providing them better market pricings and better rates on site. And also through collaborations is one thing that has supported us in also helping them to have better equipment to run the actual recycling on site, and actually have in the waste being compacted into waste into baling machines, and once it is accumulated enough quantities, actually sending it off to bigger bulk buyers, recyclers in Johannesburg. So we are facilitating that system, but it's actually their business. So it is something that even when we are not around, we know that they are handling it, and we know that waste management initiatives are being done.
Yeah, and it's continuing because it's their livelihood.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, them waste reclaiming, that's why we no longer call it waste picking, because they are reclaiming what was once not seen as value. Yeah. They are bringing what is being thrown away into a resource that people can actually understand that what you throw away that is recyclable is actually treasure to somebody else. And they utilize it as a livelihood. They support their families. They take some of their kids to school, you know, with the income which is received from that. And they are contributing mostly to the pollution reduction which is done within the landfill site. So, yeah.
And that landfill site, what areas does it cover?
So
so obviously here in Hoedspruit, we dump there as well.
Yes.
And up how far up do we use that landfill?
So at that side, it covers the whole of the Maruleng municipality.
Okay, Maruleng.
So waste which has been collected by municipality trucks, even the local reserves, there are trucks from that side that drop off their waste.
So it's a big section,
yes, eh? Yes. Maruleng is not a big municipality, but it does take in a number of waste around. So it actually also shows us how much we consume as people.
Completely. And what we throw away.
Exactly.
And also just how important it is for small landfills or areas that that we try and each follow a little bit of a recycling a route. And if there is a bag for plastics, put your plastics in the bag.
Absolutely.
And and I've become one of those little, you know, when I go to the dump and I see someone going and throwing a box in the, I'm like, you know, because I think it's important. It makes everyone's life a lot easier.
Absolutely.
And for those that are obviously out there reclaiming this, they get it saves time for them as well.
Yeah.
You know? And it's families' livelihoods, like you said, on the line. And I know that there's a lot. In actual fact, my nephew owns 3 recycling companies in Johannesburg.
Mm.
And he works 24 hours a day. These companies work 24 hours a day.
Absolutely.
And he does one with plastics and one with glass.
Mm.
And it's just nonstop. The trucks come in every single day. And it does go to show how much we consume.
Absolutely.
And that we all just need to be aware of, if we all just in our own environment make a little bit more effort, it will pay it forward at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And what we've seen, there's various perceptions towards it, of people actually being aware of it and actually caring about what happens to something when you dump it somewhere, yes, and actually where it ends up. So we are also accountable for the actions that we do towards our environments, mm, because it's those actions that build the community that we are today.
Definitely, mm, definitely. And your passion speaks through from your side as well. And how many are you? Is there a different, have you got a leader? Is there a field workers as well on your side?
So from our side, it's ourselves as the K2C, and we've got Morongwa, who's one of our field workers who's based at the site, but okay, we're currently supporting 10 reclaimers who are registered, but wonderful, we're buying from all other reclaimers which are on site, in which knowing the data is that there's about 35 reclaimers that go to the landfill site, and there's others that also bring in waste, mm, to our site. But we also provide in capacity building to the reclaimers themselves to also understand how the business actually works, and also just for them to know like other things like health and safety.
Yes, of
course. It's a dumping area, so it's also significant that we provide those good services. But I think our strongest has been our collaborations. For that center for itself to be running now, because it had no electricity, but through collaborations with the Task Foundation, they have supported us in installing solar. And there's other companies and institutions that have made means for us to be operational and functional.
Yeah. And throughout,
yes,
no matter what. And that's what's so important, mm, at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Well, that is just fantastic. And once again, just how much K2C offers Hoedspruit and their surrounding areas, and that everybody makes so much effort, is phenomenal to hear. Mm. And you mentioned that Our Waste is that a project on YouTube?
Yes.
So if you go onto YouTube and you put in there Our Waste, is it a podcast that gives you idea of how not to waste, mm, or how to recycle?
So it's a documentary which is within YouTube. You can actually find it there. Another thing that I would actually like to add, about the community of Hoedspruit, is that through our monthly farmers market at the farmhouse, we've got a recycling drop-off to which the community of Hoedspruit have shown so much support towards.
Wonderful.
It's so amazing how when we put up our bikey there and it's all filled up with recyclable clean waste, and
yes,
it also contributing to our center. It shows how much they are playing an effort towards reducing this waste crisis that we are having. So, big ups to everybody else that's playing a role, yeah, in it. And, yeah, bring more waste.
Yes. Absolutely. Bring good, clean waste.
Yeah.
And we are. I think Hoedspruit is quite pedantic about it.
Mm.
We live in an environment and in a town where animals live with us, animals, and conservation is close to our hearts. So just adding this little extra bit of knowledge, mm-hmm, to everyone here about what your projects are, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very, very much. And I look forward to seeing you all again in studio, because this is not just a one-stop shop. This, mm-hmm, is something that we're going to continue to talk about on a weekly basis, so that we just keep everyone up to date with what you are both doing at K2C.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just one more thing about something that we also do. We can see that we are youth, and as part of the Men and Biosphere Network, we also have the Men and Biosphere Youth Network. We have the MEB Youth in the K2C landscape, and then there is a national Men and Biosphere Youth Network where both in myself and Letabo are serving as committee members, and that initiative is to champion youth sustainable innovative solutions, and we try as much as possible to support the youth in the landscape and nationwide on their innovative solutions on sustainability, and then we just see how we support that, and that's something that we also do.
Fantastic. And you know, if you can be given that education from a young age, it makes a big difference. And you know, it is said that it all depending on various schools in the area. We grew up, when I went to school, we were told, we used to have a campaign called Zap It in a Zippy. And it was an ostrich. And when we grew up, we were taught, zap your rubbish into a zippy, because all the dustbins were called zippies. But if you don't grow up and are not exposed to that, you don't understand that throwing litter on the floor, you don't know it's littering, number one. You think it's perfectly normal. And if you're not given that education from a very young age, it makes life harder for you, because then it takes you longer to understand what that is. So I think with you focusing on the youth, it's so important, and I definitely applaud you for that.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for coming in studio, and we definitely will be chatting to you both again soon. And as promised, that was our K2C Biosphere people in studio, Dumisa and Letaba. Fantastic. They always work so hard. They're so passionate about what they do. And we just take our hats off to them for continuing to support and show their passion for nature. And that's why we are also focusing on nature, as this is your number one conservation station. Stay tuned.